In the absence of Pastor Michael this morning, we have the honor of having a special guest to come and preach. This is Pastor Phil Abeda and his wonderful wife, Linda, or Kathy, I'm sorry. I keep calling her Linda, but Kathy. But Pastor Phil pastored His Love Fellowship on 9th and Klamath for about, 27 years. Most recently, he was also the executive pastor of Redeemer Temple up north. We're so blessed to have him. He's a good friend of Pastor Michael's, a good friend of this house. And we've been doing ministry in the city together as congregations for a long, long time. So would you just stretch out your hand and we'll just pray for Pastor Phil this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for our brother in Christ. Thank you that you brought him here today. Thank you for the message that you have for us that you laid on his heart. We ask that it would be a blessing to us. Lord, as we want to be a blessing to you, God, to each other, to the city, and to the world ultimately. Yes. So, Father, thank you so much for Pastor Phil. Would your anointing fill him today and open up our hearts to receive all that you got for us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Simon.
You betcha.
Appreciate it.
And Simon, by the way, you should just be saying, you know, if you knew what I was sweating about, you'd be sweating too. What an amazing time of worship. I so appreciated that. God is so good. Amen. Well, I am always honored to come and share with all of you. When Pastor Michael called me and asked if I would be willing to come down, I said, of course. And I've been so grateful, Kathy and I, for all those of you that have come up to greet us already and just make us feel welcome and loved. What a blessing. And then we noticed Kathy's brother is here. I forgot that Al Casados is a member of this congregation. So when you see Al, if you know Al, make sure and give him some love. He is such a blessing to us and to our family. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you know, one of the things I'd like to do before we get started is to acknowledge and honor our veterans. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. And if that's okay with all of you, I'd love for our veterans in this congregation to stand so that we can acknowledge and pray for them. We recognize their contribution to our national security, and they are greatly appreciated. So if you're a veteran, would you please stand and remain standing so we can pray for you? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Would you stretch your hands toward those that are near you, and let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we lift up these men and women in prayer who have served our country in military service. We thank you for their sacrificed time, comfort, strength, ambition, health, and prosperity for the peace and safety of family and friends and others they never even known. Please reward them for all their sacrifices and service and bless them far beyond their expectations. Bless them, Lord, for all they have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Again, one more round of applause. We are grateful for those who are willing to stand for our freedoms. Hallelujah. Well, this is a day of giving thanks, is it not? Amen. In fact, every day should be a day of giving thanks, right? God has been so good to us. I so appreciated the songs that were selected. God has been so good and faithful to everywhere, every one of us. And we want to make sure that we begin to cultivate and develop a character, an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, because we are the people of God, and the people of God should always be giving thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, this is a month that has been designated for giving thanks. Thanksgiving is coming up, one of my favorite times of the year, as you can see, for obvious reasons. You know, growing up, my mother, when we would have Thanksgiving dinner together, she would go have every one of us as we'd go around the table. And believe me, our family, as it grew, the table got bigger and bigger. But my mother would not let us tear into that meal until we gave thanks, what we were thankful for. And of course, my standard response, you know, my mom, she'd kind of get like, Phil, come on, you got to do better than this. But I would always say, I am so thankful for these taste buds that God has blessed me with. My mom was a good cook, and so, but we should always be giving thanks. In fact, today I wanted to share with you the power of giving thanks. I'm going to share some stories with you from God's Word to show you that there is power when we give thanks to God. In fact, one of my favorite prayers found in the Bible is this. This prayer is recorded, and I'll give you this address a little bit later, but I just wanted to show you this amazing prayer of thanksgiving to God. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Would you join me in a word of prayer as I ask God to bless this message and to bless you as you receive it? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Heavenly Father, thank you for just this time of worship we were able to spend in your presence. Oh my goodness. Lord God, you certainly have fulfilled your promise when you said in your word that you inhabit the praises of your people. Your presence is sweet. It's wonderful, Lord. We thank you for your amazing love. None of us here deserve it, Lord. But Lord, in fact, I love the way your word says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thankful that you are good. We thankful that you know our name. So Heavenly Father, I'm asking this morning that you would prepare our hearts for your word. May our hearts be good soil to receive the seed of your word, that it might produce in us a harvest of righteousness that will bring glory and honor to your name. Heavenly Father, we want to remember Pastor Michael and Brenda as they are away. Would you watch over them and the team and bring them back rejoicing and safe? Again, thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name. And the church said with me, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, throughout the pages of Scripture, we find that the greatest stories of God's power at work in the lives of his people are always preceded with the giving of thanks. Since we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this month, I thought I would share a few of these stories with you, but not just it in anticipation and preparation of Thanksgiving. As I said earlier, God's people should be a people of thanks. We should be marked by our attitude of gratitude wherever we go, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether it's school, wherever we may go, we should have a smile on our face because we know he knows our name and he is good. And so I want to prepare you, not just for this month, but maybe you've been struggling with being thankful. Maybe you haven't had a reason to be thankful. And I hope these stories that I share with you today will challenge your position about whether or not we should give thanks to God every day. So I wanted to start off with the first story that's found in 2 Chronicles. In this book, we read that King Jehoshaphat is told that a mighty army is coming to attack him and God's people. Jehoshaphat calls the people together to pray. And after praying, the Lord gives Jehoshaphat and the people a promise. Check out this promise God gives. He said, "Listen, all of you of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty armor, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Here we go. Why that?
Do not be afraid. One of the greatest things that will rob you of an attitude of gratitude is fear. Fear will just take that smile right off your face. Fear will cause you to be putting your head down instead of lifting it up. The glory and the lifter of our head is faithful. He is good. He does what he says. But I love this promise. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And I'd like you to look at this first passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 20 to 22. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Giving God thanks defeats the enemy. If that ain't one reason why you should be giving thanks every day, you ought to start underlining this in your Bible and say, I want to give thanks to God because the battle is the Lord's and he will defeat my enemies. I love this story. In fact, you know, not that it's interesting that Jehoshaphat singles out the men. Come on, I'm glad I had a man saying, yep. Hey, you sisters, you're always there. You sisters are always praising God. I give you props because you have a heart for God. We men, we must step forward. We must step up and lead the charge of giving thanks. And I love that Jehoshaphat set them ahead of the army. The battle is the Lord's, so no need for the army to go out first. The men need to rise up, stand up, and declare the goodness of God. They said, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Can you imagine the enemy? They probably heard these men singing and praising and giving thanks to God. What's going on? What's happening? What's going on? And they begin to turn on each other, and they defeated themselves. Giving thanks to God defeats the enemy. You know, the best way to win a battle that you may be in right now is to thank your way out of it. Thank your way for the victory that God's going to give you. Thank the Lord who's able to do all things. Thank the Lord that it's his battle and not yours. I know some of you are here and you may be struggling. You may be right in the middle of a spiritual battle. I want you to know all you need to do is give the Lord your gift of thanks, and he will defeat your enemy. That's the first story. Hallelujah. Another story of the power of giving thanks is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. In this story, Jesus, and I wrote this, Jesus coincidentally gets close enough to a group of lepers who are able to shout to the Lord. Coincidentally, Jesus got real close to these lepers. There are no coincidences in God. Amen. I just wrote that kind of like spitefully because sometimes people think, wow, you're lucky. You're really lucky. Man, you know, God has been blessing. We're not lucky. We're blessed. God has already ordered our steps. He knows our way. Not only does he know our name, he knows our way. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. But in this story, Jesus coincidentally gets close enough to a group of lepers who are able to shout to the Lord. And if you would look at Luke chapter 17, verses 12 to 19 with me, you'll see this next story of the power of giving thanks. Verse 12, as he, Jesus, entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Can I pause here and just read that again? And as they went. Sometimes God has been, he calls us to do certain things in our life, of our walk of faith. And I don't know why we drag our feet. I don't know why we're cemented into those nice, comfortable chairs that you guys have here in the sanctuary. You know, I started to get ready when Simon was going to call me up. I had to, you know, have a pre-launch effort to get out of that chair. Sometimes we're the same way spiritually. We get settled in, set back. And God may be calling you to do something, brother or sister. And it says here in this story, as they went, as they did what Jesus told them to do, they were healed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, this is an interesting statement because as we read in verse 14, as they went, they were healed. They were cleansed of their leprosy. Why is Jesus now saying, stand up and go, your faith has healed you? I just want to submit to you that giving thanks to God for all he has done not only heals you, but saves you. So many times, people are only looking to the hand of the giver because they want a gift, not recognizing. I was thinking about, do you remember the very first miracle Jesus performed? It was the miracle at Canaan at the wedding. They ran out of wine. You remember Jesus' mother said, they've run out of wine. And Jesus said, dear woman, what is that to me? But Mary is unaffected by that response. She quickly goes to the servants and she says, do whatever he says. You remember the story? It's as if the Father was now setting the stage. It was now ready for this miracle to be performed again. And if you remember, the servants, Jesus tells them, go and fill 20 jars, each holding 20 to 50 gallons of water. He said, fill them up with water. You remember the story? They filled it. They did what he said. Again, here's another reason for doing what God has told you to do. And when you do, you'll be blessed. They filled the jars with water. And then the miracle of this transformation took place. The water was turned into wine. And I'm not talking about the cheap stuff either. Because if you remember the master, the bridegroom, he said, he goes to the groom, he says, you know, usually at a wedding, the best stuff is given at first, and then while everybody's had enough to drink, they bring out the cheaper, less expensive wine. But he said, you have saved the best till last. Giving thanks to God is a way of transforming your life. This leper, this Samaritan leper, he was commanded by Jesus to go and show himself to the priest. But as he saw that he was cleansed and healed, he had to come back. He had to say thanks to Jesus. He fell at his feet and worshiped him and thanked him. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Giving thanks not only heals, but saves you. Maybe you're in a situation now where you may not feel like doing what Jesus has told you to do. Again, it's amazing. The walk of faith is paved with obedience. This is not about what you want to do. It's about what he wants to do in and through you. We are finite beings. We don't have the capacity to figure everything out. We don't have the wherewithal to understand all the ins and outs of life. The best we can do is trust and obey. And when we do, God brings healing. He brings salvation. Hallelujah. Another story of the power of giving thanks is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is at the dedication of the temple. The Bible says, the trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, he is good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Whew! We had a taste of that this morning.
Yeah.
Every chance you get, you ought to be singing your heart out to God, thanking him for who he is. Do you remember where you came from? Do you remember before Jesus saved you, what your life was like, where it was headed, what you were experiencing? I remember very well where I was at, and I'm older now. I was a senior in high school. when I was given the gospel presentation. See, that's a long time ago. It was over 50 years ago. But I will never forget what Jesus did for me. He saved me. He saved you. As you begin to praise the Lord, you just begin to feel your, whether it's your bedroom or your bathroom or your car, you begin to just worship the Lord. Well, maybe not your car. Keep your eyes on the road. As you dedicate yourself to giving God thanks, He's going to fill the place you're at with His presence. It says that the priests, the Levites, they were not able to continue their service because of the cloud. The glorious presence of the Lord had filled the temple. Don't you want to bask in that presence? Giving thanks to God brings His presence. As Simon quoted that verse earlier, God inhabits the praises of His people. You want the Lord's presence, the manifest presence of God? God's presence is always with you, whether you know it or not. That's crazy. See, sometimes we Christians, we kind of get to feeling sad. Oh, poor me, you know, man, nobody knows my name and I'm all alone and nothing's. The God we serve promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's faithful to His word. His presence is always with you. But if you want to experience the manifold presence of God, open your mouth and begin to praise Him for what He's going to do, what He is doing. He is faithful. He is good. All right, back to my favorite Thanksgiving prayer that is found in the book of Jonah, chapter 2. I don't know if any of you guessed that prayer that I read earlier. It's found in Jonah 2. Verses 8 and 9. This is Jonah's simple prayer. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Now, one of the reasons why I love this prayer is because of where it was prayed. It was prayed in the belly of a great fish. Remember the story? If you're familiar with the story of Jonah, you would remember that the Lord wanted Jonah to warn the Ninevites that their sin was about to bring serious consequences to their nation. Nineveh was the capital city of the Empire of Assyria. They were a mean, wicked people. And Nineveh was the capital city of that empire of Assyria. The Ninevites lived without the fear of God. Their lifestyle and preferences did not consider the ways of the Lord. God wasn't number one in their life, and so the people lived in stubborn rebellion of the Lord's ways. Jonah knew that the Lord was a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love, eager to turn back from destroying people. So he didn't want the Ninevites to be spared. So he ran from the Lord. He boarded a ship headed in the wrong direction. I know I ain't talking to anybody in this church like that. You know, I know none of y'all ever respond like that to the Lord. You guys have an obedient heart, but I can identify with Jonah. He gets aboard this ship and he's headed in the wrong direction. And because he did so, he brought disaster to the ship and its crew. You remember the story? Jonah finally told them that he was the cause of their problems. There was a great storm that the Lord had brought, and they could not go any further. They could not go any further in the wrong direction. God's hand was withheld. Have you ever had the hand of God withhold you from going any further? Thank God He does that. Hallelujah. You could be going over a cliff. You could be missing out on His blessings. Thank God He will hold back. And that's what happened here. That ship would not go further, and it was breaking apart. It was about to sink. And so Jonah told him he was the reason for their problems. So Jonah knew that he was the cause. And he said to the sailors, if you would just throw me into the ocean, the storm would stop. Again, if you remember the story, at first the sailors, they didn't want to toss him overboard. In fact, this story is hilarious. While everybody's panicking for their lives, while they're doing everything they can to keep that ship afloat, Jonah's downstairs asleep. What is it with us Christians? A friend of mine says, man, we're real beauties, aren't we? He's asleep. And the captain says, wake up, dude. What's up? And Jonah tells him the story. God told me to go to Nineveh. And I said, no. And I'm heading in the wrong direction. And that's when he said, if you just throw me overboard, the storm will stop. They threw everything over the tackle. All the shipment that they were taking, everything went in. They were reluctant to throw in Jonah. They didn't want to be guilty of causing this man's ruin. But Jonah knew that if they did, they would be spared. And so they finally relented. They threw Jonah overboard. But before Jonah hit the water, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow him. Now, some of you may be thinking, what kind of a God would do that to be swallowed up by a great fish? I'll tell you who. A great God. A loving God. Somebody who cares about Jonah. He cared about the Ninevites as well, but here we are. See, sometimes we get lost in the narrative. We think that God is doing this macro work in the world, and we forget that he's also concerned about this little micro life of ours. God prepared a fish. He provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And the Bible tells us for 3 days, Jonah remained in this fish's belly until he prayed. I told you this is one of my favorite stories about prayer of giving thanks. What cracks me up is, why did it take Jonah 3 days to finally pray? I would have been praying as soon as those guys let go of me. Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever you want me to do, God, I'm yours. Have your way. Not Jonah. He don't say a thing. Oh, there's a big fish. Wow. As soon as that lips of that fish would have gone on me, I would have been, God, please have mercy. Help me. Jonah don't say, he ain't praying. 3 days. I'm going to be done here in a few minutes, but can you imagine if we were here for 3 days? 3 days, Jonah's in the belly of this fish, and he doesn't even pray. Seaweed's wrapping around his head. Other fish are going as this fish is making its way with lunch. I don't get it. Let's look at his prayer in its entirety. Jonah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. This is after 3 days. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, deep into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry ground. You know, in Jonah's prayer, the phrase in verse 9 says it all. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. You know, in the King James Version, it reads this way. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. This is the turning point in Jonah's life. Jonah's running from the Lord was over. I know. He wasn't running anywhere. He was in the belly of a great fish. Yes, but the running had to stop in his heart first. Jonah was ready to obey. He was thankful for God's mercy. He was thankful that he hadn't been fully digested. And he was thankful for the character and the nature of our God. He was thankful for who God is. He's good. And all the time, he's good. Amen. When Jonah gave thanks to the Lord in the belly of this great fish, something happened. Even though his head was wrapped with seaweed and he was being digested by this great fish, the great fish vomited Jonah onto the shore, giving thanks to God, especially in difficult times, will free you. It'll free you. Sometimes it's a sacrifice, but there's great power in giving thanks. Church, giving thanks to God can save your life. What do you think? Are you ready to get set free? Give the Lord thanks for the battle you're in. Simon, you want to make your way back up here, bro? Church, do you need a miracle healing touch from the Lord? Give the Lord thanks for this season you're in. He's able to heal you. Church, do you long for the Lord's presence in your life? Give him thanks for who he is. He inhabits the praises of his people. Church, are you feeling trapped? Are you feeling chewed up and forgotten like Jonah? Give the Lord thanks because he loves you and he knows your name. I've asked Simon to come and lead us in a song to prepare you, because I'm going to ask after he's finished leading us in this song that if you're in any one of those categories that I had touched on earlier, maybe you are in need of the Lord to assure you that the battle is his, if he's got you, he's going to take care of you, but you want to give thanks, I'm going to have you stand up. At the same time, I'm also going to ask if you're here like those lepers and you feel like, I need a miracle. And you want to give God thanks in advance for what he's going to do. Maybe it's the issue of obedience that's holding you back. Again, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then I'm going to ask you, just like if you're desiring God's presence, like those priests and the Levites when they were serving in the temple of God, the presence was so thick they couldn't enter in and do the work because God's presence was manifest in such a powerful way. And you're longing for that. Again, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then finally, if you're like Jonah and you've just been resisting God and you've just been going the wrong way, and if you want to surrender and you want to get back on track with God, again, I'm going to ask you to stand, but we're going to wait. I want to prep your heart with some worship. Simon, you did a great job this morning. And worship team, I'm so grateful for the way you've led us, but this is not about trying to put them on the front street. This is about why they were doing this. Jesus is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our giving of thanks. And so would you stand with us as we begin to thank him for what he's doing? And then when he's finished, I will come and close with a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
If you want that miracle, that power of thanksgiving to be at work in your life, I want to ask you, I know we're spread out, but if you would come before this altar and just surrender your thanks to God, a sacrifice of thanks to God, I believe God will set you free. I believe God will heal you. I believe God's provision will be more real in your life, you'll see that he's always been faithful. Who needs prayer? If you're struggling with sickness, if you want to come, make your way to the front quickly. I won't keep you hostage. I won't drag at you and twist your arm. I'm just wanting to give you an opportunity to surrender to God. And in so doing, is your first stanza of praise. It's your first word of thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, let's pray for these that have come forward. Come forward, some like Jonah, trapped, chewed up. Some that have come like a leper, wanting to be free and healed. Some desiring the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're still coming. There's still time. God is so good. He is good. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. They're still coming. Saints, pray for these that are here. These are your brothers and sisters. Some of these stories. Some you don't know their story, but God does. And they're here to give thanks. Father, we want to just join our hearts with these precious saints that are here before you. Some need a healing. Some need freedom. Some need your presence. Some are just longing to know you in the midst of the trials and the storms. Father God, we thank you that you are a real and present help in time of trouble. Heavenly Father, we know you can do all things. Nothing is too difficult for you. Father God, we pray for these brothers and sisters of ours that, God, you would speak to them. Drop a word of encouragement in their hearts, Lord God. Let that peace which passes all understanding guard and keep their hearts and minds as they trust you. Heavenly Father, may they sense your presence even now. Thank you. Those of you that are here in front with me, would you just join me in just saying thank you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just thank him, church. Church, join us. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, we say thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I believe the walls are coming down. The enemy is being scattered as we thank him. The battle is the Lord's. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to just say thank you. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for setting us free. Father, I bless this church in Jesus' name. I pray, Heavenly Father, your hand of blessing, protection, peace, provision be upon all who belong to this precious church. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor you've given me to come and join with my brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.